Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele, a show that matches business mentees with exceptional mentors to provide the skills and knowledge to navigate the entrepreneurial journey. Beyond Mentorship is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
A very good evening and welcome to this week of installment of Beyond Mentorship here at 101.9 High FM. I'm honored to be spending this time with you as we continue to share insights and observations on some of the very challenging experiences that small businesses are going through. Through the prism of my guests, we're hoping to share some light on how to navigate very turbulent water, as most of you are obviously are running their own businesses. My name is Nimrod Mbele, and once again, I'm grateful to spend this time with you. We're moving towards spring. Obviously, spring, I mean, it's amazing how time flies, because not so long ago we were in August, and now we are about to enter spring, which obviously resembles a whole lot of things. I mean, you know, as we move towards spring, I hope for me, what spring represents or symbolizes, it symbolizes rebirth, it symbolizes reinvigoration of businesses. So I'm sure a lot of businesses have been able to take stock and say where we are and where we're going from a financial perspective. So, in tonight's conversation, I'll quickly introduce some of my guests so that you're able to know what to expect. But as we proceed, typically it's important that we acknowledge the forebearers. Thank you very much, Michael McKenna and the team, for a job well done. Without any waste of time, I also want to take this opportunity to thank Betty, who's a technical producer, and Craig, who's pressing the right button. Thank you very much, guys, for making the show as seamless as possible. Much to listeners, the light I might add. If you miss any of our previous conversation, not to worry. Simply go to High FM, which is a website, which is www.high.com. Look for Beyond Mentorship podcast. Download it. Let me hear what your thoughts are. Our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. And, of course, your thoughts and views are welcome via my X handle, which is _@DrMbele. In tonight's conversation, we put in spotlight on two companies. One is Alex Bates, headed by Tabiso Sebata. I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
You are.
And as well as Michelle Veneta, who's an insurance broker, and as well as, I suppose, the founder of Batar Consultant.
Michelle Veneta Consultants.
I beg your pardon, Veneta Consultant. I'll get it right, don't worry. Yeah. So in a nutshell, the conversation is going to surround around, funding of businesses. How do you secure funding of businesses? Deboho here, obviously, Tabiso deals with funding from Alex's point of view. He'll take us through the genesis of Alex Bez and how it supports young businesses, or if young business or entrepreneur in more general. And of course, Benetta here will also give us a sense from her point of view as a seasoned, I would imagine, broker.
39 years,
it's been a long time. So between the two of you, there's certainly a lot that we're going to learn, a lot that we're going to share with the would-be entrepreneur who's listening to the show, particularly around finances. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second, as I'm told that we need to pay our bills.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
Come back. We have just started a very interesting conversation that I'm looking forward to have. If you've just joined us, I'm yet to have a beautiful conversation with Thabiso Sebata, who's an executive at and founder Alex Biz. We'll be unpacking the impact of small businesses or investment in small businesses. So we'll hear more about that. And we're also joined by Michelle Benatta. That surname is a bit...
Benatta.
Trust me, by the time we finish, I'll get it. She's a seasoned broker, financial advisor. Yes. So the two colleagues will give us ins and out on how to navigate very turbulent environment in the world of business investments. Without any waste of time, let's start off with Thabiso. Yep. You know, I've looked at Alex Biz. Take us through the genesis of Alex Biz.
All right, so first of all, thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Mbele. I think Alex Biz represents currently over 450 businesses in Alex. And the reason why we started this is because there was an organization called Business Place, and it was a hub, a very active hub, and it used to bring a lot of investors into our township. So we didn't have to travel all the way to Sandton and different parts of Johannesburg. So they made access to funding very easy. And after 2 or 3 years of it running, it closed down, and a lot of the businesses scattered, you know, and they were closing down. So we saw that gap, and we came together and decided, how about we bridge the gap between Sandton and Alex and just make it smoother for the startups to find funding? Because we know the challenges that we have in Alexandra are many, including load shedding that is not scheduled. You know, there's a lot of red tape. It's hard to get funding from any institution because they require quite a lot. So ours was to train them up, mentor them, and just to make it easy for them to be compliant to get funding. So that's our role, basically. We also have a wing called Alex Biz Investment Fund. So we are now taking an active role of raising our own funding. So we would contribute amongst us as directors. There's about 8 of us. And currently we're sitting at 50,000 rands just from our own fundraising, no external funder. So we just thought, instead of waiting for someone to come and be a saver, we can start with something. So we just put together money that we had and started loaning it out to businesses that we felt that deserve it. They meet the criteria. They've been operating for some time, and they're showing progress of signs of growth. And then we also run pitching competitions every month. And we give out around 5,000 rands to the winner. So we get about 5 businesses to tell us about. Basically, the question is, if we gave you 5,000 rands, how are you going to use it? How are you going to grow it? How is it going to benefit your business? And so from the pocket that we have, then we will fund that business. But it will be a loan, expecting it after 3 months. So it's also just making it easy for the small businesses to get funding, because we know it's hard for them to get it from the corporate banks. So, yeah, that's the reason and the vision behind Alex Biz.
Thank you very much for that insight. One thing that you've touched, we'll come back to, it's the loans. I want to know who qualify for the loans and what are the interest rates.
All right.
How different are you from commercial banks?
Okay.
Because earlier on you alluded to the fact that you obviously want to make funding accessible to youth. Thank you very much for that. Let's now get to Michelle. Michelle, obviously, there's a seasoned broker, as a seasoned financial advisor. One thing that he raised was about one entity that they worked with, it collapsed.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod. I'm joined by Thabiso Sebata, who's a CEO and a founder of Alex Biz, as well as Michelle Benatta, who's an insurance broker at Michelle Benatta Consultant. Colleagues here giving us the ins and outs of the financial space, and with a view to guide and support up-and-coming entrepreneurs to understand what are the typical booby traps that are there. Before we took that break, Michelle really gave us one or two examples of the risk of which, how each of the risks can be
mitigated
by an insurance.
By insurance, yes.
You know, and Abdul, take us through the liability. I mean, you made
mention contingent liability.
Because that's a very common one.
Yes.
Take us through that.
So
what
for
does
example,
it mean? Yeah, for someone who doesn't understand or know what contingent liability is all about, just unpack it for us.
Okay, so let's say you've got a company, and they've got capital equipment, and one of the directors, you know, approaches the bank for a loan for that capital equipment. Obviously, takes the time for that loan to be paid off. So there's that huge liability on the company. So one way of mitigating risk is to take out cover, life cover and disability cover on that director, so that in the event of his untimely death or becoming disabled and unable to work, there's capital available to pay off that debt. Otherwise, the company, once that person dies, would be forced to find the capital within the company to pay that debt. And I mean, that would put a business out of, it would put a business out of action.
That's obviously a very noble suggestion, because we all have to plan for rainy days.
Absolutely.
So cover is one of those.
Yes.
Because obviously it all depends personally on the magnitude, but how inexpensive it is to have a cover, particularly when looking at liability.
Contingent liability. Depends on the person's age, female, male, smoker, non-smoker, income, educational qualifications. So it's variable, and it also depends on the sum assured.
Okay,
so it's all individualized in terms of that.
So obviously, I would imagine you would have a template that you go through to assess the level of risk, education,
yes,
background,
yes,
income, all those kinds of variables that you take through for you to
calculate the cost of
to
that
make
cover.
A determination of how much will it cost.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And is it something that, Tabiso, something that you have been exposed to in a know? What your overview would be on this type of cover?
So, as I said, on our side, it's something that hasn't been a top priority for a lot of the businesses that we work with. And it's something that we would need to teach, educate the importance of it. So with partnerships with Michelle, that will help a lot. I think it's, as I'm listening, it's something that is really needed. And we have a lot of partners that, you know, split, and there's a lot of commotion that happens because
absolutely
of that. So yeah, it is important to have.
Yes.
Absolutely. Michelle, maybe once again, take us through in your own observation. I'm sure you have come across so many companies that that closed purely because there are a number of reasons, but personally, you could tell us what in your experience have been most of the reasons that led to companies closing.
Oh, but there's so many risk factors outside my ambit that I could go through.
Sure, please.
Or I could maybe rather go to the solution in terms of minimizing or mitigating risk in a small business.
Yep.
Okay, so the number one is, you know, the insurance side, short-term and long-term. But the other way is to maximize the operational efficiency of the business. I think a person has to keep evaluating all aspects of their business. Third factor is maintaining emergency funds, which can be generated through positive cash flow or can be in the form of an accessible line of credit. So these are just pointers for a small business to keep in mind. Do you want me to go on?
By all means.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yes. Then you've got to invest in quality assurance. By that I mean to ensure that your products and services meet the desired quality standards. And I mean, that is a problem in South Africa. You go to a restaurant, you notice the level of the product in terms of, you know, service, the actual food that is served, you know, what is the quality? I mean, when a restaurant serves decent food, has good service, it's never going to run out of clients.
Absolutely.
But So that's just a small example. Then another way of mitigating risk is to diversify your business investments and potentially your business's income stream. I mean, if a person's going in, has a particular business in one field, they could potentially look at another income stream and, you know, be creative about finding another income stream to increase their income.
You don't depend on one variable. Mm.
Exactly. So that's a way to spread your risk across multiple areas. Another factor is keeping your receivables, in other words, your accounts receivables low. A lot of clients, a lot of businesses extend credit, you know, thinking it's going to keep their clients happy, but very often those clients don't end up paying. So uncollected accounts receivables result in lost revenue, reduced cash flow, and lost profits. So I think it's very important to stay on top of the balances. You can even use an account receivable aging report, because you find that the longer it takes for a person to pay that account, the lower the chance of you actually getting the money from them. So that vigilance helps uncover clients that present credit risks.
Absolutely. Coming back to issue on quality assurance, I mean, which is a very important point, Michelle. Tabi, so you're in a space of issuing out loans.
Yeah.
Take us through your quality assurance and risk management processes, you know, because I don't just walk up at your door and because you think you like what I'm doing, here's 5,000 rands.
Yeah.
It might appear as if it's not, but it is technically a lot of money to someone who may or may not pay back.
Yeah.
What sort of criteria do you use to quality assure the lender or to quality assure someone who is about to ask for the loan?
Yeah, I think our approach is more of a warm approach compared to banks, where they just ask for paperwork. We actually visit the business, and most of the businesses that we work with and we loan have been with us since 2019. So it's been a while. So we kind of seen their growth, and we have a relationship with them. They attend our workshops, our training. So there is that, you know, that accountability that we have. So when we go and ask for the documents, we speaking to someone that we already know that they're going to make most of this loan. So yeah, we try to give a warm approach compared to the banks. We need to help them as much as we can, because a lot of them would get a job and they're not able to deliver on time because they don't have the income to get the job done. A lot of our entrepreneurs get paid 2 months later after they've delivered, you know.
That's
and
the problem.
It becomes a big issue when it comes to quality, because you'll end up just making most of what you have just to deliver, but you're not happy with the quality because you didn't have the means to produce the quality. So our role is just to make it as easy as possible for them to get the loan. And we walk the journey with them. We don't just give them the money and that's it. We check on them and ask, how is it going? How is the job that you're doing going? Are you making? We ask for bank statements as well to see that the business is actually making money. So we're not just blindfolded. We actually see the business and we see how they're doing. But we offer more than just the loan. It's also mentorship.
Okay, but just hold on there. You know, there's no collateral that you're asking for, hence a warm approach. There's no collateral. Yeah,
we do ask them to put something as surety.
Okay,
but
something like what?
If he's in the printing business, okay, their printer will be, you know, the value of that printer will be, you know, put into that contract. But chances of us going and taking that print away are very slim. You know, we'll try by all means not to get to that point. We'll give them as much grace as we can, because ours is for them to prosper and to grow. So we will go and assess and check that there is actually a printer. So there are some measures of risk that are there, but we try by all means to help them as much as possible. You know, townships, we struggle a lot already. So we need to be able to be there for our people. So absolutely. Yeah, as much help as we can. And that's why we welcome businesses from Sandton and everywhere to come into our space and see for themselves these amazing artists, these amazing entrepreneurs, and the work that they do, and their need, you know, for access to market, for funding. So yeah, our role is just to continue to make it easy for them to access funds.
While we're at it, who of your clients are better paying clients in terms of the gender spread? Because we all know that statistically, women tend to pay a lot quicker than men.
But funny enough, in our case, it's been the other way around. You know?
Okay. So that is just a myth that men don't pay.
No, I'm not going into that. I'm just saying with our candidates, we've had a better success rate with male.
Okay.
Then I think maybe because they're already planning around, okay, I need more money, so I need to pay this out. So with the issues that we've had with females, where there's so many things that they're responsible for, and that money goes out quite quickly, and it's hard for them to, you know,
to
pay on time. But they do report, and they will say, I'm a bit behind, but I'll catch up. So we are lenient as well.
Well, those are very interesting observations that we're hearing for the first time. A soft loan, how I wish all the banks could adopt your. But obviously, we all know there's a very good reason why banks operate the way that they do. We have a very good reason why insurance companies operate the way they do. So what is more important is how Alex Biz can collaborate with Michelle as an example, so that she's able to give you more insights on how to manage your clients even better. Because if your clients are more successful, the chances are you as a business will be successful.
Yeah. Now, we welcome that partnership,
absolutely,
Michelle.
Absolutely. I'd love that.
Sure.
Yeah, but okay. Now let's look at the success condition. If you are giving me the loan, what metrics do you use to determine whether I'm succeeding or not succeeding?
Mm-hmm. Oh, obviously, if you are able to pay it back within the time period, that's a good indicator. And also if you are in a position to, you know, pay back and ask for more and pay it back. So those are some of the things that we just look at. So we've had repeats of people coming back and asking for more money, and it's adding value here.
Okay. Let me come back to Michelle. One of the issues that perhaps maybe you could just take us through here is insurance policies. We all know that every single entity needs to have an insurance policy. You have touched on some of those.
Right.
What's the risk of not of having a business without an insurance policy?
Well, I mean, imagine if there's no cover and an event occurs. So I deal in the long-term insurance category, but in the short term, even, I mean, a fire, building, if they're not covered, that could be the end. You know, the capital equipment's gone. And then what? Where are they going to find the capital to restart?
What about, I mean, a theft? Because that's one of
the... theft, fraud is huge. Cybercrime. Those are all risks that,
What has been your mitigating strategy around those issues? Because you're not just only supporting the client, you're not just issuing a loan, because you are saying soft, you get there, observe the infrastructure, you understand the person, you have this kind of a rapport.
Yeah.
When it comes to risk around theft, for an example, and negligent, to what extent are you educating your client to be in the know? And if not, what is it that you do to ensure that your business becomes sustainable?
I think that's why I'm excited to meet people like Michelle, because there's a lot of education that's needed around insurance. The risks in a township business are very high, so there's not a lot that we can do. But if you are insured, at least you can able to get your equipment back or whatever that you've lost. So yeah, we would continue to encourage them to learn about insurance, and you know, if we can pack something that is a workshop that we can run, you know, every now and then, just for people to be, and also just to give, maybe insurance sounds very expensive and unnecessary to a lot of entrepreneurs. It's like, I could use that money to buy stock or get more marketing going. than to put it there. So if you bring that element in, we'll definitely get more people signing up. So insurance is always seen as this unnecessary
liability. On that note, let's take a break. We'll be back in a second. Before we come back, I want to give us a sense of what sort of industries do you operate in, because that could potentially give Michelle an understanding and appreciation on how to package some of the insurance offer, or she can have a conversation with you on understanding which of the products that you're supporting, and whether or not those products are worthy of insurance, and if at all, what kind of insurance. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. My name is Nimrod Mbele. I'm joined by Thabiso Sebata, who's an executive and a founder of AlexBase, as well as Michelle Benatar, who's an insurance broker at Michelle's Benatar Consultant. Before we took that break, I wanted Thabiso to give us a sense of the types of sectors that she operates in, with the view that Michelle has an appreciation, at least from a short time, because Michelle operates in more long term. However, she can still provide insight and support, or at least guidance, on what are some of the basic things that a short term insurance would look for.
All right, so from the list, our database, majority of the businesses that we are assisting are in the transport businesses. So they take kids from school and home. They will do shuttles here and there when there's opportunity. So there's a lot in the transport space. We also have a lot of entrepreneurs in the beauty space. So they own a salon, or they do house visits. So they're carrying their equipment with them to go and offer that service. We have photographers and videographers who do events or would have a studio that people will come and take pictures. We also have people that are doing repairs, whether it's TV, appliances, fridges. So they're always taking people's appliances into their space and fix it. So there's a lot of risk in that. We also have restaurants that are selling, takeaways, quarters, slides, So they have a lot of, things in their kitchen that they are using, and with load shedding happening all the time, that's a high risk as well.
Yes. So that would definitely be in the short term commercial insurance, and I could definitely give you contacts in that field. Okay. to help you. I don't know if you would like me to expand on other ways of mitigating
by
risks.
By all means.
So the last thing I covered was, how to for your business owners to keep, the accounts receivable low and make sure that they do get paid. As you explained earlier on, very often they don't get paid, and then they don't have the capital to carry on their business. So this is very important. Once they gain tractions and they expand, there's going to be agreements in place.
Yeah.
So it's very important that they learn how to read their contracts carefully and ensure that they understand them. Also, to work on reducing unneeded debt, keep the loan balances as low as possible to avoid excess borrowing costs such as interest charges and bank fees. And also, maintaining quality records. Because by doing that, it provides clean data for analysis and future projections. Mm-hmm. I know we're going further than a small business, but hopefully they're going to grow.
Yeah, the plan is to grow.
And then they have to become a little bit more sophisticated in analyzing how to mitigate risk. So by maintaining quality records, it helps to avoid compliance risk. And sloppy record keeping increases the risk of bad decision making and non-compliance. And they've also got to create a cash management strategy. Running out of cash is one of the most common reasons businesses fail. So if they could get the know-how in terms of forecasting cash inflows and outflows, monitoring account receivables, managing debt payment, keeping an eye on interest rates and currency exchange rates, all help to lower the risks.
And all these are pretty much aspects around financial literacy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which are very important for any small businesses to understand, because if you have your basics covered, you're more likely to avoid unnecessary cost to your business. But perhaps maybe as we proceed, you obviously seems to have operated. How long have you been operating, Tabiso?
Since 2019.
I'm sure you must have registered some success stories. We want to share with us your highlights.
So from the entrepreneurs we've helped, we have a business called Bailey's, where they sell the sandwich I was telling you about called the Gorda. They now have two branches, and one of them is in Morningside. So a lot of the businesses are getting out of the township. We also have another one which is similar called Siga Culinary. He started off very small, you know, at the back room. Now his place is actually used for events. He was able to expand. So a lot of the help that we were able to bring in his business helped him to expand. And he's attracting people that are outside of Alex coming into his space. We've had a relationship with Sandton City where they gave us their space for 2 months for our fashion designers to showcase their work in the corridors. So that also attracted a lot of new business for them. So we have a lot of success stories. All we're asking for is for people to come into our space in Alex and see the work that these entrepreneurs are doing and see the potential, and hopefully, you know, pair up with one of them, mentor them, and fund them or give them access to market.
What would you attribute that success to? Because something that is successful, obviously one has to work on how to replicate it.
True.
If you've got a formula that works, as you've correctly pointed out, the assumption is that you can work on that formula to scale it up.
Yeah.
What would you say, you know, was behind the success?
I think, as you said earlier, the biggest, you know, what would you say? Financial literacy. That's the biggest factor that causes growth, and we've seen that those that have attended those workshops do much better because their records allow them to get access to funding, and they're also able to track and see whether their business is viable or not. You
absolutely
know? So it's just getting the entrepreneur to not focus so much on the service and the product, but also on their accounts. So if they cannot afford an accountant, you know, we always encourage them to barter amongst each other. Mm. So if I'm a graphic designer, I would find an accountant and do their social media, their website in exchange for that service.
But so here's another curveball, Tabiso.
Yeah.
Say for instance, I mean, if 5,000 rand is the maximum cap that you loan, and as an entrepreneur, what I need is more than 5,000 rand. I'm more likely to go to another Mashonisa to make up for the difference if 5,000 rand is your cap.
Yeah.
Because that also puts your investment in risk. What sort of conversation do you have with somebody who wants more but only can afford 5,000 rand, which means he has to go to Joe and ask for this one and this one, you know?
Yeah.
The interest rates will obviously not be the same, because typically, entrepreneurs, we look at business with passion.
Yeah.
Mzala, this is a spanner, this thing.
This
is going to work. and it wouldn't work in the real world, because it's all about data. It's all about information.
That's true.
You know, so of which, it's not something that you just wish and therefore it happens. And there are a lot of technicalities that has to go into it. How do you manage that risk? Because that from where I'm sitting, it is a big risk.
No, true. So 5,000 is just our start. So if you are able to be faithful with little, we'll give you more. So if you pay us back that amount in the time frame, then you can ask for more. But also we have partners outside of Alex that are also giving out loans. So we would then introduce them. So we kind of introduce them to organizations that are ready to give out loans, but we must make sure that our candidates are compliant. So that's where we will help them to make sure that they have all the documents in place and then introduce them to those third parties. So for us, it's just for, you know, emergencies. You know, I need to buy stock right now to deliver this, and I cannot wait a week or so to get this money. So within 2 days, we will be able to help you because of the relationship we have with you and the fact that you've been paying us well.
Well, we're going to have to take a break after this very interesting observation that we're picking up from Thabiso. We'll be back in a second and to hear more as we gravitate in towards the end of the show.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. It's amazing how time flies when you're having fun. I'm having a very interesting conversation with Thabiso Sebata, who's a founder of Alex Base, as well as Michelle Benatar, who's an insurance broker at Michelle Benatar Consultant. Michelle, one of the issues that you raised just before we took that ad was some of the salient points which the small businesses need to think about. Take us through your thoughts, please.
Okay, so I previously spoke about creating a cash management strategy. Now I'd like to also mention that the businesses should invest in their employees. Mm. I mean, I find that one of the downfalls of businesses is the attitude of employees. And I think there's a direct correlation between the adequacy of employee training and business output. And, so most businesses, you know, go beyond one person. And that, I think, is a very important factor.
Absolutely. I mean, especially when it comes to theft. I mean, your employees will bring you down because you don't value them or vice versa. So that's a very important...
But also the way they portray themselves towards the clients.
Absolutely.
I mean, you go to a restaurant, a waitress with attitude, you know, will mess up, will screw that business.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to go back if that's the attitude that is prevalent in a restaurant, let's say.
Sorry, Michelle, I wanted to go back to the point of investing in your employees. Do you mean in terms of training them and getting them to understand your service, or is there more...
So definitely, I would say in terms of training and understanding your service, but also in terms of attitude and client relationship.
Mm.
You know, how they handle clients. What is the attitude? Is the attitude helpful, or is it, you know, disinterested and not very motivated?
Mm. You get a feeling like I don't get paid for that. I mean, it's not my job.
Because
your clients, your colleagues, your staff are your representation. They are your ambassador.
Yeah.
And they could make or break your brand.
That's true.
If somebody walks into the shop, it feels the energy and wants to be helped. Because attitudes is about everything. But if you don't have, if people are not trained to know that the first impression lasts, and if one person is unhappy, others also be very unhappy. So it is important for know the product, know the value of the client, that you and I salary depends on how happy this person is.
Yeah.
If this person is unhappy, the chances are others are not going to be unhappy. If this person is happy, we'll go and recruit other people. It is as simple as that. I mean, word of mouth. You know, it sounds cheesy, but that's a reality.
That's true. Would finances be an issue when it comes to attitude? Because I think a lot of the people who are not taking ownership of their job or their being an employee of that business is because you're not paying them enough, you know. And also maybe there's other, you know, options that I can think of as a business to maybe give them a stake into my business.
I think that's a pretty good idea, to give them a stake. I agree, because then they've got something to work towards.
That's true.
And something to look forward to.
Sure.
Now, I was very interested in the point that you said that, for example, some of your businesses work together. For example, the butcher who may need accounting work done goes to one of your businesses that is an accountant. So now I would call that outsourcing.
Mm.
And that is also a risk mitigation when it makes sense. Because by hiring a third-party specialist to handle certain parts of a business, it can bring cost savings and save time because there's already expertise in place. Yeah. And I think that's something that you should really focus on.
Yeah.
How they can work together. And that would be a way of outsourcing.
I couldn't agree with you more because you have to look at the entire value chain
of
your business. Elon, you made reference to buttering, not even though it's not buttering in a literal sense, but there is those elements that are more overlapping.
Yeah, we're exchanging value.
You know, because and you can quantify the value that you're exchanging.
Yeah.
That if you were to get an accountant, this is how much will be cost.
True.
If you're going to get this safe, this is how much it's going to cost.
That's
so
true.
If you put it in your books, you're reflecting on it, you see the value, how much you've saved.
Yeah.
Had you gone out and looked for someone else to provide that particular service.
That's so true. Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, I see Gregory tells us that we need to wrap up. Your final parting shot on this beautiful day.
Yeah, so I'm just calling out anyone who's listening to this conversation and says, I would like to be more involved in Alex and the businesses in Alex. We are really open. I mean, I'm wearing a T-shirt that says Alex means business. You know, we for the longest time, Alex has been looked as a place that is not safe. But we've changed that narrative because we've been delivering. We've been doing business with a lot of corporates in Sandton, and there's a lot of success stories based on that partnership. And we're asking for more partnership. We are sitting with a population of over a million in a very small space. So there's a lot that can be done. You know, township economy is very, very, it's booming. But yet we are not on the receiving end. We are not able to leverage that opportunity. Yet we have malls that are coming into our townships and taking that money. You know, we have big corporates that are interested in townships now. And our guys are not getting much out of it because they're not prepared and ready and equipped to deliver. So with partnerships with yourself,
absolutely.
Michelle, that will help.
Absolutely. Michelle, your parting shot, trying to see how we can support the likes of Alex.
I would be very happy to help in terms of educating, in terms of, you know, for example, the importance of insurance, but also networking.
Yeah.
As I said, it just came to my head in terms of ought, but it's not for me to say that, but just a suggestion. But perhaps networking with, I mean, I would love to see a synergy between the Jewish business world and Alex to work together and see what, you know, what can be done to that synergy to help.
Absolutely.
I think it would be wonderful.
In fact, to your word, I mean, Ort is already doing some work, you know, in Alex, but it's just a matter of maybe amplifying it. They may not know it. There are a lot of companies that support Alex Entrepreneur, of which you may not know about them. But it starts now. We can look at it and see how best to support you because you're doing a great work. Unemployment rate is very high. Poverty is very high. And it is important that we I'm told that we need to wrap up because Gregory is but this is very important, Greg. Tabiso, without him, thank you very much for coming through. Your parting shot, please, Michelle.
No, I'm just available to help and assist because I believe in entrepreneurship and I think that is the solution to our economic ills.
Absolutely. Collaboration across the board.
Yeah, can you visit alexbiz.co.za and see the work that we do? Our stories are there. alexbiz.co.za.
Thank you very much. I'll certainly take you on it. It has been absolutely a pleasure having you, Tabiso, as well as Michelle. Thank you very much for your insights, observation. And I certainly hope, and I do know that the listener, you know, understanding is slightly strengthened, particularly knowing exactly what AlexBiz, Tabiso, you're doing, and Alexander, and opportunities of collaboration between Michelle's company and your company. That, you know, the benefits are just endless. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it here. It has been absolutely beautiful getting, you know, this wonderful conversation with you guys.
Thank you.